I want to make a roll to see if Hugh is going to notice that he's getting too far away from the rest of the party. And I feel like that's going to involve his inability for patience, willpower, or discipline.
I agree. And a six isn't going to do it.
Hugh is alone in the darkness. Well, not alone in the darkness. He keeps making things glow with hedge magic, possibly his hat.
I suppose we will just have to listen and determine if there is a scream or a terrible squelching noise.
I believe we ended the last session with the Lich saying, actually, I'm in the next tower over.
Yes, but that was out of character.
The Lich that was ready for their time to shine lowers their head and sadly walks away. Scuttles away. They were insect people, so scuttling.
Yeah. Oh, did you want to take an hour and redo your ciphers?
If you're letting me, sure. I'm going to... I double-clicked on the character sheet and that... Well, on the character in the... Whatchamacallit. And it showed me all of my ciphers, including the ones that are archived. That's no good. Wow, that's a lot of ciphers. I mean, yes, but... we're going to get rid of that one and that one. So I'll keep two, I'll take four.
Okay.
I feel like Hugh is the cipher system version of playing Magic the Gathering.
Kind of.
Rejuvenator. Ooh, level 6. Restores a number of points equal to the cipher's level to one random stat pool. Skill boost, strength enhancer, and tissue regeneration. So I have two different things that can be used to restore points to pools. Hugh will continue to not learn from his mistakes. And I just noticed, if you zoom in on the map, there actually is a map superimposed on the parchment paper. It is very, very faint, but it's there. Look in the I'm Ready box, just south of Steinen. There's a hallway that goes straight across.
Oh, I see. Itty bitty sketchy.
And once you notice that's there, then you can find other bits elsewhere, including in the grid below. But we are taking up time, and Ellie has an intro to do.
I think it's meant to look like erased lines on a map.
I think so too. It's a nice effect, and I like how subtle it is that we only are just now noticing it.
And also, yes, we should do the thing.
Is button push.
Recording?
We are recording. I got whole cold open.
All right. Well, then, my name is Ellie. I'm here with Beth and Crash and Ellie and Eo. And who wants to plug a thing?
And I'm Crash. Eo's mom writes books at ElizabethMcCoy.com.
Come on, we're doing this out of order.
Last time on Plus Ultra, after extensive travel across the southern plains, the group came to the Giona settlement of Dabril, built into a crater in the plain, I almost said cavern, and full of little Giona houses, much bigger below the ground, with a large reinforced wall to one side. After greeting the Giona leader, Branimir, and getting a brief tour of the town, the group went through the sole door in the reinforced wall and emerged into an ancient train station, full of wreckage and a few still standing cars in what remained of the silted over station. In the back of the station, they found the hole in the wall that Branimir had told them about, leading to an underground river that led, eventually, to a vast underground cavern containing the remains of an underground city. This city, built by the dead race called the Tiktekel, also contained their remains, the wing cover shells that were all that were left of this once vibrant species of humanoid beetles. The group ascended one of the tall termite mound buildings and found a room at the top with preserved writing in a language they could not comprehend, and various trinkets left behind by the room's final inhabitant. Now, they've decided to expand their search to other buildings in the city. It's a little after midsummer, and while the air is warm above, the cavern is cool and slightly damp. The name of the place, well, the town above, is Dabriel. This is Plus Ultra. Did I forget anything?
Unless we're being advanced on by undead beetle zombies.
You are not.
Oh, thank goodness.
Their bodies are mostly disintegrated in whatever cataclysm killed them. So if we were being approached by undead beetles, they would be ghosts.
True.
Or made of ash. They could be made of ash.
That could be concerning. Observe. This is Tamilin being concerned.
Have we seen any traces yet of any kind of, like, physical destruction other than just the wear of time? Or did everyone just die?
The bases of the tall buildings and the walls of the cavern are blackened. And you haven't really examined that very well. Very much, I should say. But other than that, you don't see any, like, there aren't any knockdown walls or anything that you've seen.
I think we should take a look at the blackened residue.
Hmm. Yes.
Tamilin makes a rubbing of the blackened residue.
Tamilin knows better than to try that. Tamilin will investigate the blackened residue and perhaps take a sample of it, which looks like taking a rubbing. Except you really ought to put it into something that's ceramic or glass.
Yeah.
You will scan the blackened residue, expecting to find lots of carbon.
Yeah, it's soot.
You will sneeze.
This place was burned.
But why?
Probably by accident.
The war, presumably. By accident?
Look, all of these lanterns, like, there's pipes that feed them. They weren't just, we're going to fill up a little container of oil and light it. They were piping stuff in. Maybe one of them overflowed. Hugh has no concept of gas lanterns, but the player is assuming they were gas lanterns.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but that it would take all of them like this? Could not any of them escape?
If it happened fast enough, or worse, if it happened in a way where their exit was blocked.
If some of them did escape, they wouldn't leave the remains here for us to find.
True.
Yeah.
I suppose we should attempt to catalog everything that is here.
Question. When Hugh scans the lamps, and because he did this last session, when he scans the lamps and sees the pipes going down, do they go down past how far he can scan, or does he see them turn to go underground and link up with other pipes?
It depends on the pipe. The ones that turn seem to, like, there's thicker stone in the way, the denser stone in the way that would be harder to tunnel through.
Okay.
But some of them do indeed just go straight down.
You know, if they were going to service this in some way, there should probably be like an access or something. So their equivalent of a sewer. I want to see where this goes. So Hugh's going to look for basically like a manhole or a beetle hole cover or something. It would probably have to be much larger than a human considering the size of these things.
Malin is going to just be stacking carapaces. Sorry.
For a town hall or a barracks or something. But if we're going into the sewers, I guess we're going into the sewers.
Oh, no, we can do that too. Hugh is going to far step as high as he can on a building so he can look around and see if there's like a bigger building.
The termite mound buildings all seem to be of similar heights. Like there's variation, but there's nothing that would indicate one building over another.
So they all look the same within slight variations.
More or less. You also can't see very far though. So
this is also true. And I think if Hugh went up there and just started throwing glowing rocks in various directions, eventually someone would be upset with him.
Especially if you knocked us on the head.
Possibly. I was about to say possibly a party member who got hit with a glowing rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if he managed to not hit a party member, there would be a point where someone told him that he needed to stop doing that because there were other things they could be doing that would result in better dividends. That is a kind way of putting it.
Just that. Tamilin is carefully putting carapaces gently to basically adjacent wherever they were so that, well, she doesn't want to slither over them because that feels wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
But she's trying to keep them roughly where they are so that if people want, if we try to figure out where everyone died, I mean, can we tell? GM's rolling things.
No, that was me rolling something.
Okay.
He was going to attempt to use hedge magic to help you. He does not help a lot. That's a 2. It's not a crit fail.
It's fine. It's fine. Just trying to see where everyone fell when they did. And if they were...
Well, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is that the case? Are the streets packed full of these?
Pretty much. And as you proceed, there are some of different sizes.
Oh. Well...
Are there any inside the rooms, the buildings?
Some, but not as much as you.
Everyone was out or trying to get out?
So they knew something was happening, they just couldn't make it in time.
That seems the case, or plausible.
Yeah, that seems like what happened. We should keep looking for records.
And we should keep our... We should keep alert for whatever happened happening again. Perhaps the air is bad.
That's possible. Could have been a gas.
Right. I'm going to see if any of the buildings look different on the inside. Be right back. I am going to far step from building to building, just looking through the front door of each to see if one looks different from the others within some value of different.
And hopefully not crunching people's exoskeletons underneath.
Hugh does not want to step on them now that he definitely knows that they're remains. But yes, he intends to help in the way that annoys Steinen the most. Not because it's annoying Steinen, but this seems like the thing that would allow him to help most expediently. And he forgot, because he's incorrigible, that Steinen keeps saying, don't move ahead.
You are outpacing the healer. Line of sight, line of sight.
I'm outpacing the tank and the DPS.
Yes.
I am the mage heading off alone. It's okay. I'm only mostly squishy.
Sigh.
I'm not completely squishy. I have a might of 9.
excuse me. Despite the fact that the buildings all look roughly similar from the outside, there isn't a whole lot of architectural uniformity on the inside. There are very clearly aesthetics at play in terms of like how the interiors are designed. But many of these are houses, or at least they look an awful lot like houses.
Nice people lived.
Yeah. And as a reminder, there are buildings built into the walls of this cavern that are somewhat smaller, but again, they seem to be houses.
Hugh is specifically looking for something that looks like it wasn't meant to be a house.
Okay. This is either going to take a while, or you are going to get very far from the rest of the party.
This is not... Actually, I want to make a roll to see if Hugh is going to notice that he's getting too far away from the rest of the party. And I feel like that's going to involve his inability for patience, willpower, or discipline.
I agree. And a 6 isn't going to do it.
Hugh is alone in the darkness. Well, not alone in the darkness. He keeps making things glow with hedge magic, possibly his hat.
I suppose we will just have to listen and determine if there is a scream or a terrible squelching noise.
Hugh? You out there?
I think the best part about this is because when you spoke up, we were hearing you a little bit through Beth's mic also. There was an echo, like you were shouting into the darkness of this cave.
I noticed that too, and I was pleased by it.
So now we all need to point it out because, oh, that was great. The question is, do I hear Steinen?
I'm going to say yeah.
Haven't found anything yet. They're all just houses, I guess. Hugh doesn't know if Steinen hears this. Okay. Okay. If you hadn't responded, Hugh would have said the same thing again, but using hedge magic to try to amplify his voice. He doesn't know if he can do that. He was going to try.
Just don't explode. Never mind.
Hugh is not thinking of apples. Hugh is trying to think the opposite of apples. It's like telling someone, don't think of purple elephants. You're thinking of a purple elephant right now, aren't you?
No, I'm thinking of a pair.
Thinking of a pair of purple elephants.
I'm thinking of a purple pair.
A purple pair of pachyderms. Puzzling.
Well, you said he was thinking of the opposite of apples.
The opposite of apples is pears, right. I thought the opposite of apples was oranges.
No, you're supposed to compare those.
Oh, this is where the pears come in.
And Hugh knew magic changed because the apples, he tried to turn them orange. That did not go well.
Lord.
He instead turned them into applesauce. And the applesauce was evenly distributed. I'm sorry, much better than...
Well, much better than if you'd turned them into orange juice.
Just going to file that away for later experiments.
Oh, no.
Hey, I can use hedge magic to cook.
Can you use hedge magic to cook well?
This is Hugh. He's a perpetual bachelor, so he'd probably cook something that he could eat.
After a while, Hugh, you come to what looks like a major thoroughfare crossing the city.
Ooh.
There's no way to say it other than that it's a plaza. It's roughly football shaped. It's that pointed oval shape, and the major thoroughfare runs through the points, and then there are various streets leading off in different directions. And the buildings on one side, the buildings on the far side from where you came in seem to be qualitatively different somehow. It's one of those, I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it.
Am I able to find my way back to the rest of the party?
That's a good question. It's going to be difficulty 3 to find your way back to the rest of the party.
Oh, no.
Well, let me see if there's anything in my list of spells for today, otherwise known as my cipher list, that might help. Well, that would be luck of the draw for the skill boost cipher. You know what? I'm going to do this. That's a 74, so I have an asset to climbing with this cipher.
You need to climb?
No.
Oh, well.
I can far step. So, but I'm better at climbing for 2 attempts for this level of cipher. Just going to archive skill boost. Because I've used it. There we go. All right. So I am going to make my roll. That's a 3 on the die. I do not find my way back based on the level of difficulty that was provided by Ellie. I do call out, though. Are you there? Marco?
It's Marco. Yes, do we hear this?
Yes. Sound carries surprisingly well.
We're over here.
Okay, it's a saying. One second. I am going to attempt to find them again.
Maybe we should come to you.
That beats difficulty 2.
No, if we try to come to him, he'll get bored and bamf away.
With them calling out, does difficulty 2 succeed?
Yes.
Okay. So when you say I'll get bored and bamf away, I'm right behind you. And I say, well, it's not really bamf away. It's more of a sort of like the opposite of a pop sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the air that was around me is then filling the space that I was in, if that makes sense. Anyway, I found a thing.
And what did you find?
Yes, Ellie, the opposite of a pop sound is spelled O-P-O.
Yes. Oh.
Take a pop sound and reverse it in tenacity. But I do not have the patience or spoons to do that when we're editing, but I might do it anyway. So it's, I found a big courtyard type area. It's shaped like a pointy egg. And some of the buildings are different there.
Well, let's go see, I suppose.
Okay. It's, Hugh is about to far step away again and then realizes he's the only one who can do that. Sighs heavily. This way.
Demelin continues to shift Carapace's side gently.
Or Hugh. No far step, no cart, no ox. He has to do all his own walking.
It's tragic.
However, I have rolled a 14 for hedge magic to try to help move Carapaces out of the way.
With a 14, you do a somewhat better job than earlier.
From craft services, Rand punches the air.
You make fairly good time to the central plaza. There is still, I mean, the ground is still covered with carapaces. But across the plaza, there are indeed... And in the plaza, now that you're looking closer and have like a reliable source of light that isn't just a stone that has a glowing effect put on it, you can see that there are the remains of some mechanisms. You can't really tell what they're for, but it looks like there might be some wheels involved or some, maybe those are gears. It's not obvious what the intent behind them was. But they line the sides of the plaza.
Gears. I guess I'm going to go try to examine the gears and see if they're hooked up to anything.
Okay. They are parts of piles of debris. Like it looks like there were mechanisms here that have long since rusted away or were destroyed by a fire or just fell apart.
Is everything here still charred?
Yes.
It's mostly the bottoms, I think you said?
Yeah, it's, you know, the level of the soot goes, and I'll tell you, out of character, if you could get to the top of the cavern, that would be, if anything, even more blackened than the bottom. But if, okay. So it's like somebody set fires at ground level, and so there's burning at ground level, and then accumulation of the smoke at the top.
Okay.
So it's possible that whatever was holding the gears in place was made of wood or some other material that's combustible. And when the fire burned everything, the gears, which weren't wood, just sort of, there was nothing holding them up.
Right. The intent of me describing that was that it's not just people down here. There's stuff that was destroyed by the fire as well. The buildings on the other side are, again, they're qualitatively different, but in a way that's hard to describe. Like, you can tell that there's a difference, but you wouldn't know. You're not sure you would be able to say why you know that there's a difference.
I suppose we'd best look in and see if this is the upper-class housing or business district or whatever.
I suppose we should. It's a thoroughfare, so...
Hugh walks into the closest building. If there's more than one that's close, whichever one is directly in front of him.
All right. This, for lack of a better term, this looks more like an office building. There are, and you're not going to have any, your characters aren't going to have a whole lot of context for this, but there are desks around the outside of the first floor that are... They're regularly enough spaced that they look like they're not... This isn't what you would associate with a house. This is what you would associate with, like, a place of business. Or
with so many workspaces, maybe a scribe.
Yeah, something like that.
Or an accountant, somewhere where a lot of people were copying out writing, maybe.
Perhaps. Are there many... Yes, are there many more remains in here?
Surprisingly not. There are one or two, but not... It doesn't... You wouldn't have said that this building was particularly densely inhabited at the time that whatever happened happened.
During their sleep cycle or a day of rest, perhaps.
Well, most of the bodies are in the streets. Everyone was trying to escape, maybe? And if there's some type of major calamity, I don't think most people end up going to file paperwork.
No, but yeah. Whatever happened, there weren't a number of people here inside this building to fail to get out of it the way some of the homes were. Hmm. Or perhaps people would delay to try to get precious items.
Well,
but
if it's a business, then there might be more writing and stuff.
That's true.
That's my hope.
Do the desks have drawers?
They have compartments that would serve the same purpose as a drawer. Like, imagine one of those hollow school desks.
Mm-hmm. So nothing that would have shielded them from fire.
Right.
And this one is filled with ash, and this one is filled with ash, and this one is filled with ash. Was this place stored in a firestorm?
Yes.
There are some more of those writing tools. But nothing...
Well, let's go further up and see if there's anything different. I assume it goes up.
Yes. It looks like there was a gate across the ramp going up, but that's long since collapsed.
Public and private areas, perhaps. For all we know, it was a restaurant.
Suppose it's possible. You'd expect some utensils, though, not writing tools.
That's true. Unless they ate with their writing tools.
I hope they didn't eat with their writing tools.
Some people lick their pens. Then they get E. coli over their tongues.
If they were a kind of beetle people, a lot of insects have, like, things that stick out from the sides of their mouth that they use to tear apart their food. They might not have needed utensils. What are those things called? Petticoats.
Well, hopefully.
I think it's called petticoats.
Petticoats are what people with legs wear.
Those are for dresses.
You're thinking of paddleboards.
Yes. They eat with paddleboards.
No, I doubt it. Perhaps they were all mute and they didn't have much of a language and they had to write down their orders. Tamilin does not actually think that this was a restaurant, but she's going to argue the possibility as she slithers up.
You'd expect plates and things.
Not if they were served on dried mushroom caps or leaves. Those would all have been burned away.
Well, they wouldn't be being served on leaves underground. And I don't think they'd be being served on giant mushroom caps. Because we haven't seen anything like a mushroom growing area.
Yet.
Even if it got burned. Yeah, yet.
Perhaps we shall find in some part of this rather large underground town the mushroom farms. They must have eaten something. Worms, mushrooms, moss. Slither, slither, slither.
About a floor up. First of all, the ramp is quickly enclosed on both sides as you pass the ceiling of the first floor. About a floor up, there is a door leading into the central column that is surprisingly still intact. It is round. It has... Well, actually, it's not obvious how it opens. There aren't any hinges. It just has... I'm struggling to describe this.
It's a door cork.
It's like there are handles built into the door. Like there are indentations in a circle around the center of the door that look like they could be gripped by a certain kind of hand.
We wouldn't see hinges if it opens inwards, presumably.
So,
is there anything that we can grip?
Yeah, you can put your hand into the you can put your hands into the indentations. You're just gonna have to like keep your pinky finger out.
Okay, I'm gonna try to pull.
We're upper class. We extend our pinkies when we open doors. Wait.
Yes.
We might want to gently push first. Or maybe it lifts into the ceiling. Or slides aside. Just rattle.
Try to push.
Rattle that sucker.
There's a mechanism on the inside of the... Like you put your fingers in and then your fingertips click something inward. And when you pull, nothing happens. Rand, stay over at Craft Services. When you push, the door slides in about a thumb's length or so. And then there's a kind of looseness to it. Like you feel like you could roll it to the side.
Yeah, let's try to roll it aside.
Okay. I am... Looking at Steinan's might, I am not going to make you roll for this. yeah, this is, you know, it clicks inward and then you roll it counterclockwise and it just rolls to the left out of the way. And you can, the room is open.
Wave the glowing sword in. Let's get some light.
Okay.
All right.
This does, this appears to be, well, okay. Let me put this a different way. I was going to say this appears to be the mother load. But in fact, you don't actually know what's on the documents in here. It's just that there are a lot of them. And they do seem to have been insulated from the fire by the building and the door.
Excellent.
So there are like thousands and thousands and thousands of documents in here. In neat wooden filing that somehow has not decayed.
Have we found the library?
Or a records room?
Something. Perhaps the accounting of all of the crops for decades and decades. But then we would several know what people, they ate.
During this entire session, several people have been trying to hold Rand back as he wants to interject. He's over there at Craft Services, but does not want to be.
You pick up one of the documents. It's a letter saying, "Dear Sir, I am disappointed by the quality of the copper that you have sent me."
I knew it.
I knew you were going to do that.
I award Ellie 3 luck points. You'll probably have to reroll now.
Oh, that reminds me. Hugh, did you take your luck points from failing those rolls?
Oh, I should probably. I failed twice, didn't I?
You failed twice, yeah.
Okay. 3 luck points total.
Have we been playing for about an hour?
We have been
51
playing for about
minutes.
An hour. I was going to say in about 5 minutes we should take a break, but now's as good a time as any.
All right. Buttons are buttoned.
There we are.
Pray that I button them further, because I want the campaign to keep going.
Indeed.
All right, but don't button them further right now, or we're going to stop recording.
That could be a problem. It could be recursive.
That's when you curse something twice.
This has been known to happen.
Oh.
I didn't know you could curse things. You seemed more exploding things and bipping around.
Exploding is kind of a curse.
It's make things, makes thing. Hugh has one curse. It's make things explode.
Well, I have one curse right now.
Right. I mean, I suppose you don't have to consider it a curse. Personally, I consider being blown up to not be a beneficial effect, but to each their own. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Hey, they said spread out.
You are in.
And I helped.
Appears not to be.
Like that. Hmm? Sorry.
A records room. I'm going to be doing my GMing in 3-word spurts all night. There are documents in rough approximations of filing cabinets. It's, you know, there are only so many form factors for those. And there are various scrolls left out. There is one that catches Hugh's attention. It is a very fancy scroll. It has gilding. Well, actually, I think I described this previously. It's a very fancy scroll. It has gilding on the knobs. It's made of a nicer kind of that tectecal paper. And it's printed in the, how did I describe it? The tectecal imprint script. And Crash has said all of these rolls are hexagons. Here's an interesting bee fact. Bees make the tubes in their hive circular. It's just that they're soft-sided. And a hexagon is the most efficient way to compress tubes into a space. And so the tubes become hexagonal.
Because hexagons are the bestagons, yes.
Yes. So they're not intentionally building hexagonal tubes. It's just that that's how it happens.
You're saying you're saying that bees do not natively play GURPS?
Sadly, no.
Alas.
It's not that the bees love hexagons, it's that physics loves hexagons. And I think that's even better.
Yes.
Well, this does explain why GURPS has a reputation for physics. I mean, it's not deserved entirely, but anyway.
It explains why Saturn has a hexagon.
It does.
Hmm. Cool.
Anyway.
I've learned a new fact.
The bottom part of the scroll is burned, which is odd because nothing else in the room is burned.
There could be other sources of
but
fire.
But there is some, yeah. It's just not obvious why the scroll burned.
Hmm.
The scroll has a sort of sheen to it that, you know, looks fancy. I'm sure you've seen, like, the players have seen scrolls like this in the real world where they have sort of a shine to the paper.
We unroll it and it's someone's doctorate.
I don't think we should unroll something that's burned until we figured out if we can repair it. It might be fragile at the burn point and fall apart.
Hugh hasn't opened it.
This isn't a rolled up scroll.
Oh.
It is. It looks like it's unrolled as far as it's going to go. It's just that there's not a whole lot of it left.
Oh. It's hanging in a scroll holder to read it, I guess.
It might at some point. This right now it's just sort of strewn across a desk.
I feel like what we need is like magic translation skills. I don't think any of us have those.
No.
It's
burned at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's translating that. I mean the text.
No. Is there any reason why it would be burned at the bottom? Is it scorched? Is the desk that it's on scorched in that location? And why isn't it burned all the way?
They might have brought it here after it got burned. I mean, maybe someone was trying to read it and they stood too close to a fireplace. Come to think of it, have we seen any fireplaces here?
Is there an ancient desiccated corpse at the desk?
No. This room is empty other than the filing cabinets and documents and desks. There are no dead tic-tacle in here.
Well, I assume either someone rescued it somehow, or...
I have come across a terribly paranoid thought
that it might be a magical
scroll.
Yeah, no, that was the second option.
And a magical scroll of destruction that murdered everything here because someone read it and then it burned itself up to the point that there was murder or something. Or someone set it on fire and that murdered everyone.
I kind of don't feel like it was an accident.
It was a scroll that was actually, it was infinitely long until they had to burn it. Because if it's infinitely long, it would just keep going forever and people would be compelled to read it. And then they just be there until they died. It was until they burned it.
Tamilin is just going to reach out to...
A doom scroll.
Tamilin is going to reach out to Hugh and shove his hat down.
I was not saying that in my character voice.
Read it in here, everything in here would have been on fire. Like if it was a scroll of bad.
Unless it was a scroll of bad elsewhere.
They might have brought it here to repair it.
Also possible. Is there a empty... Scrolls usually have two wheels, one on each side, right?
Yes.
Is the other scroll wheel visible on the floor or on the disc?
Give me a roll for searching. Difficulty 4.
Okay. Let's
and
see you, what
while
got.
We're here...
Yes?
You feel you are impulsive. This scroll looks shiny.
Oh, no.
You feel a strong impulse to pick it up.
Without thinking about it at all, Hugh goes over and picks it up to get a closer look.
Okay.
Waiting for it to turn to dust, waiting for it to turn to dust.
Tamilin, the scroll, the other end of the scroll does not seem to be in evidence. However, take your luck point for...
All right.
Why do you... Oh, okay. I can deal with that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I have all your character sheets up and closed in the window, and every time I open Tamilin's character sheet, the little header icon moved up about half of its height. I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I realized it was colliding with the bottom of the screen. Oops. When I opened it. And so it was getting pushed up. So the whole thing would fit.
Neat.
And the reason I have them tiered like this is so that when I pop one open, I can still see the others.
That makes sense.
To click on. Hugh, you experience this and nobody else does. First, you get an XP.
Yay!
Because this was a GM intrusion.
GM intrusion of me being impulsive. I will become tier 7. One could say it's because of Hugh's character flaws. One could also say it's because of the player. It can be both things. But please continue.
Yes. You also see the characters on the scroll shimmer.
Ooh.
And realize that you have, after a moment, that you have a new skill on your character sheet. And the sheen goes away from the scroll.
Wait a minute.
You now understand what's on it.
Did I just get distracted by a shiny object for real?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, and now I need to look at my skills. Because when you say something like that, it means I should really look at my skills. Oh, Tektekl imprint script. I'm trained in it now. It has no description.
Oh, there's our translation.
Sorry?
Well, anyway, it has a title, but it doesn't have a...
You now know what the scroll says. It doesn't have a body. Yes, I haven't written that out yet.
It's fine.
Let me put that a different way. I've written it out. It's on the wrong computer. I'll fix that later during the... I'll fix it up after the episode.
So, hey, I could read this.
What?
Yeah. It says, before... full disclosure, I have been given pronunciation guides, but this is Hugh we're talking about, so I'm not going to use them.
Oh, no.
Before Darren, there was a star that had no children and no partner. It moved lonely through the universe. It goes on for a lot of paragraphs here.
Since when can you read this?
Right.
Since about 30 seconds ago.
You're touching it.
Yes, I'm touching it. It was shiny. I picked it up. And now I can read it.
It didn't explode. And now I can read it.
Well, if touching it is safe, I'm going to touch it too.
I hand it over.
Don't move it around. You're breaking the bottom.
Hugh is not letting the bottom touch anything.
I'm being careful.
It is the same ticky little, like, tiny legs being pressed into a piece of paper with ink that it's always been. It's obviously a language, but it's not one you recognize.
It's weird, though. I mean, I know what it says, but they didn't write the way that we write. So when I'm saying it out loud... Okay, well, where's my place? Star that had no children, no partner, moved lonely through the universe. I think I read that part already. The gods saw the star and were moved, and they created for it, from the dust of its own creation, a child, a world to orbit the star. The star was grateful and loved the world, and in honor of the gods, it called the world Darren. Darren? I don't think that's how it's pronounced. I never understand the little accent things. There is no accent on the word, I'm sure. But translated to our alphabet, there is. Darren named the star in kind, Thenet. So the star is going around saying it is the Senate. Oh, no, the planet saying that. Okay. Meaning no longer lonely. It's okay. Side note, it is really weird translating something that includes a translation for something when I didn't know how to read this 5 minutes ago. I'm getting a headache thinking about that. So I'm going to go back to reading.
Used to weird magic stuff happening.
No. I've never been used to it. It's neat, but I've never gotten used to it.
You stopped needing to eat for like 3 days.
Oh, it was way longer than 3 days, because after a while I thought, well, can I do it again? And the answer was, oddly enough, yes. It was like 11 days total, if I remember correctly, because one of them was for 7, and I had 2 of them.
Yeah, something like that.
Together they moved through the universe and were happy. Oh, that's nice. Oh, wait, though, that's not the end of the story. Oh, it's going to get worse. Senet's love gave unto Darren some of its gift of light and warmth and creation. But Darren was not a star and could not handle this gift and was in danger. So the gods gave to Darren keepers who would maintain Senet's gift and hold it steady for Darren. These keepers were the first dragons. Ooh. Hmm. Who sat atop...
Do the dragons know this?
No.
Sorry. Go on.
You can go ask them. Who sat atop the world and made sure that Darren was not undone by Senet's love. The world is a top? I mean, isn't all the surface the top?
Well, maybe they sat on the surface then.
Yeah, but then why... Okay, but which one? I'm losing my place here.
Obviously.
In time, the first dragons craved their own children and produced the second dragons. We had first dragons. What about second dragons? And after that, the second dragons made 11 teeth. Wait, no. No, that part's not in there. After this, the dragons were tired and lay down to sleep, and the second dragons took over their duties to give the first dragons a righteous rest. And so the cycle of dragons has continued, one after another, to this day. Does that mean the dragons never died? I thought the old dragons died and the new dragons were born.
They're dragons, so they're weird.
Granted. Senet's gift also caused to rise from Darren the peoples of the world. Hey, that's us! From the surface of the world, closest to the emptiness of the void. Well, no, you're one person. But the three of us together are peoples.
Yes. Keep reading.
Yeah.
From the surface of the world, closest to the emptiness of the void, there grew the humans, and the sky, and the Felta, and the Groover, hardy folk who could withstand the pressure of the sky. Sky is pressure? As stewards of the creatures that grew there, to ensure that those closest to Senet's love were protected and guided. From the trees arose the Sari. Hey, that's how they wrote your name. Neat. Well, your species name. You know what I mean. To keep the forests and the green places.
Go back a minute.
Hugh slowly lifts his finger up because he was using his finger to keep his place. So he moves the finger up higher and says, tell me when to stop.
Yeah.
How should we know?
I don't know.
No. You were listing out a bunch of different people.
Yeah. Human, Sky, Felta, and Groover were on the surface. And then Sari were in the forests and green places. They govern plants and mushrooms. Do you govern mushrooms?
I live on the surface.
Hugh was turning towards Tamilin when asking that question. Because Tamilin's the Sari.
I'm not so sure about the mushrooms. The ones that grow on trees, I suppose. I hardly govern them. They don't do what I want. What was this about living on the surface?
I mean, the forests are also on the surface, so I don't know why you've got a different paragraph there, but okay.
I have more shade.
True.
Yeah.
In the desert arose the Giona to tend to the wastes where no creatures lived. But the Giona lived in... It's a creation story. They don't always pay attention to things like logic and reasoning. Right. And to keep them holy and closest to Darren's heart were born the Tiktekel, those most beloved by Darren, and the Ugogs to serve them. And the Tiktekel were given dominion over the core of the world and all that lay below the surface. And the rest of it is a bunch of ash.
I'm not sure the Ugogs would agree with this.
I'm not sure I agree with this.
Well, it's...
What? Don't you live on the surface?
Only so it's their long creation as I've story. Been following you guys around.
I mean, I've heard a lot of stories, and pretty much every species, there's a bunch of different human settlements that all have their own stories about how everything got started, and they can't be correct.
Did we live on the surface when we first met?
Hmm.
Is that a thing? Because I didn't think that was a thing. I know you don't know.
even if you didn't, maybe the Tetekel only saw you when they were on the surface, so they just assumed.
All right. Tamilin is trying to... sort of tapping on fingers and counting the number of species that have been assigned a location.
I mean, people think mushrooms grow on the surface, but I tried scanning one, and most of it's underground.
Mushrooms grow everywhere.
Yeah. Turns out if you've got a ring of mushrooms, the entire ring is the edge, and it's a big circle of mushroom underground. I did not know that, but don't eat the part that's underground. It's full of dirt.
I do try to avoid eating dirt.
You gotta wash it first.
Yes.
Yeah, but then you just you wash away the dirt and there's nothing left because it's I don't know, it's spongy? I don't know why I'm talking about mushrooms. Because it said that the Sari were in charge of mushrooms on here. Anyway, I think that's neat. We should probably write this down on something else. Hugh starts looking for a blank piece of paper.
Tamilin will take out her notebook.
Oh, yeah, we can use
that. Tamilin takes
too.
Out a notebook. Yes, start transcribing.
Hugh was looking for a blank scroll in this room to write on.
No.
And Tamilin made a way better decision.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody can go ahead and make what's effectively an insight check at difficulty 4, and feel free to add anything that might give you an advantage on that.
Tamilin shoots things. She doesn't think.
Fair.
But sometimes
she does, however, think.
Natural 20.
Tamilin's brain is struck by lightning. Hugh's brain is hit by lightning.
It's distracting.
We are not the same.
You rolled that privately, so...
It was a 9. Right.
It was a 9.
I did not spend any effort or use any skills for it. I just rolled intellect.
So did I. I spent effort.
All right. Well,
well done.
Tamilin disarms the insight.
Success. Major effect.
Hugh, I am going to say that you are distracted by suddenly knowing this language. Tamilin and Steinen, Hugh appears to have learned the language by picking up this scroll, which then no longer worked for anybody else.
Uh-huh.
It's possible that this scroll, that whoever set fire to the scroll did so in an attempt to prevent anyone else from learning the language.
Yes, but it's Hugh who picked it up, so they've sort of succeeded because he's not going to want to transcribe every other scroll in this
I have
place.
Already gone to one of the other cabinets and I'm reading through things.
Okay.
As you're saying, I'm not going to want to do that. I'm doing it.
No, you're not going to want to transcribe it. You're going to want to read them. There's a difference.
Yeah. Some of it is historical records. Some of it is bookkeeping. Some of it is... It's all very well organized, but it is... That was an impressive roll.
Still I got an 18 for hedge magic. I am using Tamilin's notebook and transcribing every scroll I pick up.
Excellent. Isn't it a good thing that Tamilin probably brought at least one scroll of paper for rubbings?
Yes.
We're going to need a bigger cart. Giving myself one GURPS point.
For Hugh.
Actually, wait. I had a failed roll earlier for the noticing thing, so I'm going to give myself a luck point.
Please take your luck point.
Yay.
So, before we got to... Someone didn't want anyone reading the...
Yeah. Both Stein and Tamilin get that someone probably didn't want anyone else reading this scroll and tried to destroy it to get rid of its effect. Who knows why it failed? Maybe the fire just burned out. Maybe someone put it out.
Maybe the scroll is magic.
The scroll is magic and resisted being burned.
Maybe the fire actually worked and brought the uses down to one.
That's possible.
Hmm.
Tamilin, with your 20, you've seen something like this before. It's a cultural artifact. It's essentially introduce a foreigner to Tiktekel culture, starting with the creation myth.
Mm.
And it's for diplomatic use. It's like, you know, your diplomat arrives and they hand you the scroll and you read through the scroll and suddenly you can read all the other documents.
Convenient. So they would have been handing this to a diplomat.
Yes, it would have been prepared for
a
diplomat, an envoy, someone who was not familiar with the Tiktekel culture or its writing.
Or perhaps but there might have been a stranger here who decided to burn it instead. Or a Tiktekel who did not want the alliance.
Or a Tiktekel didn't want the people who killed everyone to be able to read their stuff.
Also possible. But there's no body here. And I am a bit wondering where that other...
They might have burned it and then gone out and gotten killed as well.
Tamilin, probably entirely randomly, look at the green circle, is still going to go back to trying to find the other end of the scroll wheel just because it's bothering her that it's not there.
With a 20, you can find it. It's rolled under a desk.
Recover it, put it back with the rest of the scroll. There, now it's better.
Yeah.
Is it also burned?
Yeah, the bottom of the scroll, like the word has slipped out of my mind. The bottom scroll wheel is burned, and it is like there's nothing decipherable on whatever remains of the scroll.
So probably what happened is it was partly unrolled and someone set fire to the edge of it, the edge of the part that was still rolled around the bottom, which would probably catch easier. And then for whatever reason, it didn't actually burn all the way up. And if you want to hold something up to make it on fire, you probably hold up the end that's all rolled up.
You know, it's kind of possible that this scroll got burned at an entirely different time compared to, you know, all the horribleness that happened outside.
Possible, but would they not have...
You're thinking they would have tried to repair this right away?
The scroll wheel was underneath a desk. I think that they would have at least found that if they were leaving this out to splice a new one atop it or evaluate it or whatever.
It's quite possible that they had other things that were more important, or this was enough of a hassle that they were saying they were going to get to it later, and then the big fire thing happened and later didn't happen.
I think it would have to be fairly close together, or else it would not be lying across the desk with the other scroll wheel not near it.
This assumes that this is a species that 100% always cleaned up after itself every time something was misplaced slightly. And...
Does anything else here look misplaced?
Not particularly.
Gesture.
Look, I'm just throwing out ideas here.
I am suspicious that the envoy they were going to greet might have been at the head of an invasion force. Although they don't seem to have died like that. Well, they might not have known it was at the head of an invasion force. But whoever it is burned it and left it and did not bother to activate it or could not activate it. Maybe it was meant for a human.
I don't think we found enough evidence to say one way or the other.
Well, if you can read things now.
I kind of doubt it was a human.
No, but perhaps the scroll was meant to be read by one and activated by one.
Don't know why it would care about that specifically, but you might be right.
So that it didn't activate if anyone except the recipient touched it? That would be rather awkward if you present the scroll and the servant touching it gains the ability, you know, as they are transferring it to the king or whatever.
It might just be that the type of...
Going by species there seems a little weird. I mean, what if the king's retainers are the same species as the king?
All right, that's true. A mage? They meant it for a mage?
Maybe, but clearly it only had one use left, because I can use magic.
True.
Although your magic isn't the same as my magic.
Yeah, it usually does the same thing each time.
And yeah, my magic is also not the same as the magic I had yesterday. Or the day before.
That's a lot of point for Stein.
Oh. I'm just saying, until we figured out that the scroll was supposed to be magic, my operating theory was that you touched it and went, hey, I can't read this, and then you could.
Well, let's just keep an eye out for another scroll like this, and then you can touch that one first.
Honestly, interesting even point. So, I feel like we should transcribe as many things as we can in the next couple hours or so, because I'm not 100% certain that it was the scroll.
Hugh will hand you the notebook that he ostensibly took from Tamilin, that he has now filled using hedge magic with a lot of transcriptions.
Malin will unsling the roll of rubbing paper that she got, that she carries around next to her quiver of arrows, and plonk it down probably on the floor and look meaningfully at Hugh.
We are not going to get good rubbings off of these.
Scrolls.
You are the one making the rubbings.
By
transcribing.
With numbers or letters corresponding to one of the transcriptions, so we don't mix up which one goes to which if in an hour suddenly you don't speak the language anymore.
Question for the GM. Do these scrolls have some type of cataloging notation on them?
The filing cabinets do.
But the scrolls inside
the scrolls themselves don't particularly?
Dynan is right. Let's find something simple and transcribe it. And do they have an alphabet or a pictogram?
I mean, it's all little, like, scratchy marks.
All right. What does this single scratchy mark mean? Point.
The.
And
that's an important one.
Yeah. You can see it here and here and here and here. And it's over here, too.
Tamilin is going to extract as much of a Rosetta Stone as can be figured out. You know, is this a sound language? You know, do the scratchy marks count for sounds, syllables, letters, or are they, you know, the whole thing is a meaning because it's all the scratchy marks are together?
So, here's what Hugh is going to
suggest.
Are we
looking at Roman or Japanese? Or Chinese?
Here's what Hugh is going to suggest. Because the three of us are not language experts, it is best to prepare things so that a language expert can look at them. Hugh is disinclined to put any markings on the scrolls themselves. Mostly because Hugh fears that someone's going to smack him upside the head if he attempts it.
Yes.
So his suggestion would be to take the transcription, put it on top of the unrolled scroll, and then roll up the scroll so the transcription is included inside the rolled scroll. That keeps the translation and the original together without having to mark the original.
There is that. What Tamilin is going to try to shake out of Hugh is a Rosetta Stone. Actually, that's a good point. Can Hugh write in tic-tac-toe now?
With effort. His handwriting's not very good.
I'm not sure they used pens. That's the thing. It turns out Hugh could write in Tic-Tacle if his handwriting was any good at all. Instead, it looks like it's just chicken scratch, which to the outside observer is what Tic-Tacle looks like. But no, it's different.
As a reminder, one of the buildings you visited previously had a desk with a little imprint pen.
Oh, right.
That would have been used to make these characters.
Ah. It's, in my head canon, it looks kind of like the... Sorry.
It gets used like a... kind of like a rubber stamp. You know, you dip it into the ink and then make the marks.
So all their stuff is basically lines.
Yeah, it's not brush strokes. It's marks that, now that you're looking closely, look like they could have been made with a small insect, like the end of an insect leg. It's not, you know, some of these are in that, I hesitate to call it a typeface, but you can see that different people have different Tic-Tacle, I should say, had different stamps. So it wasn't always the same as, okay, this, you know, the shiny scroll that Hugh got the language from is fancy. And like it's like black letter. Some others are quickly written with just like, you know, it could have been the end of any narrow stick. But the letters, the formation of the letters, the imprints look like they could have been made by like the end of an insect, like pressing into the paper.
They don't ink their stuff. They press it hard so it's not really inked.
No, they do.
Okay.
You press the end of the stick into the ink pad and then mark the characters with the end of the stick, the inky end of the stick.
So it's lines and dots, basically?
Pretty much.
Okay. They at least don't draw full pictograms.
Yeah, no. And to answer your question, linguistically, this is not... Hugh won't have the language to express this. Hugh will call them syllables. But what they really are is mori. But that's a really... Like, it's a hair-splitting distinction in a lot of cases.
How's that spelled?
M-O-R-A-I. Sorry, M-O-R-A-E. Mora. Okay. M-O-R-A is the singular.
Equal to or shorter than a syllable. Okay. Oh, and phonetic length matters significantly. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's close to syllable. Probably close enough for the characters.
Yeah.
It's like a syllable, but not really. It doesn't quite fit that in my head. So if it's like a syllable, but not really a syllable, I'm going to call them a syllable. I think that makes sense.
Close enough, I suppose. So
it's like how similes are like metaphors.
So each one is transcribing a sound.
Kind of, sort of. Hugh will immediately point out an exception to this rule that he's found somewhere, if there is an exception.
Oh no, it's French.
And weirdly, you never pronounce the one at the end of the that he wouldn't know that, because this is a dead language. Quite certainly, this is a dead language.
Tic-Tacle is a dead language, as dead as it can be. Sorry.
And if the letter has a little hat over it, that means there used to be an S there.
On top of the letter with the hat? Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to say, I don't think anybody's actually spent any points, but I'm going to, if you want, you can spend basically a 10-hour rest transcribing this stuff.
Indeed, don't spend points.
Oh, no. Steinan spent points.
Right.
Does that mean I could replace ciphers?
Yes.
No, you're busy he's busy transcribing. Well, probably.
Yeah, but it's not actually it's less that he's actively replacing ciphers and more that his ciphers shuffle.
Oh. We reiterate the thing about Steinan pointing out that Hugh's magic just sort of rearranges itself casually.
Yeah.
I will take 3 ciphers, please.
Okay. Oh, this is a funny one.
Straight flush.
I have disarm, enduring shield, Ooh, level 9 Enduring Shield.
Oh, nice.
And Perfect Memory. Perfect Memory allows the user to mentally record everything they see for 30 seconds per cipher level. This is level 4, by the way, so in 2 minutes. And store the recording permanently in their long-term memory. This cipher is useful for watching someone pick a specific lock, enter a complex code, or do something else that happens quickly. Okay. Guys, I think I have a plan. Hugh will spend the next 10 minutes laying out as many scrolls open as possible.
I figure you were gonna hedge magic them across your vision.
You know what? That sounds better. And hedge magic is not something under my equipment.
No, I tend to think not.
Okay, so I got a 15 for hedge magic. That would be difficulty 5. There are still some going to be on tables, on the floor. Don't step there. There'll be some hovering, maybe, if the GM lets me. But spreading out as many of these as he can so that he can spend 2 minutes using this perfect memory thing to memorize every scroll he can see.
Okay. And presumably that would come with the translation, which we don't know. It's actually a skill, and we fear it might vanish.
Yeah.
All right.
Presumably the now, ones that you haven't transcribed yet. If you've transcribed it, we're not doing those over.
Well, this would be after the 10-hour rest period, because that's mm-hmm. when Hugh got the cipher.
Yeah.
So on top of it. Yes. Right. So that is all in my head. Oh, no. It is all in my head.
It's all in your head.
Why did they care so much about the quality of copper?
Copper is a very important metal. It's fairly workable, but not too soft.
And when they wrote to this guy to complain about it, why did he keep these?
Well, what else was he going to do? If he didn't keep them, someone else might read them.
I get the feeling that this is a copy of that.
Why are they filed here?
It's possible the original was written on a clay tablet or something.
Well, let's try to put all the scrolls back where we found them.
I think Ellie was going to say a thing.
Okay.
I was, but I'm letting you finish.
I do not, as neatly with hedge magic, that's only difficulty 3, put all the scrolls back where I found them. I will have to use my hands. That's another nat 20 from Beth tonight.
Jamila puts all the scrolls back where she found them.
Yeah. Where, they go,
all the scrolls are now back where they were.
They slot back neatly where they originally were.
Ran is over at Craft Services with very mixed emotions. He keeps going from punching the air to yelling from Craft Services while people hold him back physically. This session has been a roller coaster for him.
Jamila would like to, with this major effect, do something, if that's all right.
Okay.
Possibly retroactively.
You do 4 points of damage to the filing cabinet.
No. No. Jamila would basically like to try to figure out from ash patterns on the original magic scroll there if it was, in fact, burned at the desk.
That's really funny. Sorry. Yes, it looks like someone tried to burn it at the desk.
So it was not probably brought in damaged.
Yeah. It also looks like it was probably substantially longer than it is now.
Yeah, I figured.
We are coming to the end. So if anybody has any last words or actions, now is the time to do them.
I'm concerned that the GM asked if we had any last words. I supposed to hear that part?
Yes, that's... No. Well, if your ability to read things hasn't gone away, we should probably go through the rest of the buildings and see if there's anything interesting to read. Especially, didn't we find someone at their desk again? Well, find someone's forgotten wings. Perhaps someone has written down what happened to them somehow.
He's written down something that might explain.
The player is imagining... Sorry, I keep talking over people. The player is imagining a beetle person somewhere writing, "Oh my gosh, we're all on fire. We're dying horribly. Oh, the pain is unbearable.
I mean, to me,
I don't know how this paper's going to survive.
To me, Lynn is thinking, you know, like, tomorrow we will welcome the envoy of the...
The Fire Nation is coming to visit. We're sure everything is going to go splendidly well, and nothing will change.
Yes, exactly.
Turns out everything
tomorrow
changed.
The Dragon of Fire is coming, and we will all come out of our homes and wave our feelers in the air to welcome them. We're sure that it's friendly. Anyway, that is kind of what Tamilin's hoping for.
Okay.
Steinen?
Steinen may still be unsettled by the revelation from earlier. Or they may have disconnected.
Bip, bip.
Bip, 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 bip. Apparently Io was trying to interject.
Yeah.
And we heard nothing.
Unfortunate.
Yes.
Not unfortunate they were trying to interject. Unfortunate that we couldn't hear them.
Okay.
We hear you now.
And now I can hear you.
Anyway, as Steinen was trying to say to Malin and Hugh, she thinks that there might be information about the war. War being something that people tend to write down records about.
If this is a war action, yes.
So I've been reading scrolls for 10 hours, and then I speed read a whole bunch of them for 2 minutes. Did I see anything about wars?
You did. And this is as good a place as any to close the episode on. The tic-tackle, and you... There's quite a bit of interpolation going on here, because a lot of what you find is like troop rolls and supply records, that kind of thing. But from what you can make out, this all started when the Groovers started moving into what the Tic-Tacle considered to be their territory. The Tic-Tacle took up arms to drive them out and failed. And the Groover, this is from diplomatic letters. And again, you're kind of reading between the lines for a bunch of this. The Groover came to the conclusion that diplomacy wasn't going to work and that the Tic-Tacle weren't going to stop coming. What nobody seems to have figured out, and there's questions about this in the documents that you've read, is why the Groover came underground in the first place. And that's where we're going to end it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I've been joined by Beth, Crash, and Io. My name is Ellie. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Io's mom writes books.
ElizabethMcCoy.com. You can find a list of them. Please ask your local library to buy some for everybody. They're ebooks. They're cheap for libraries. And speaking of cool things?
Well, we take all these podcasts and put them over at AaronBSmith.com, where you can subscribe to each campaign's individual RSS feed, or if you want to listen to all of them, we publish 2 a week on Mondays and Thursdays, and there's 1 RSS feed for that that'll give you all of them. Well, the most recent 200 episodes. It's not going to go back further than that. You'd break my server. Please don't break the server. Please. It is held together with duct tape, binding twine, and wishes. Not very strong wishes. But also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on and keep the server running, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Shen Shen, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying, did you catch any of that?
Caught a tick-tick.
Discord
it was
conspired tick-tick. Against
I'm just
you.
Too far away from... Yes, Discord conspired against me. Long sequence of ticking and clicking. That is what Ellie is saying. Mm-hmm. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And good now night. You all have an asset in...
A dead language?
Looking at mushrooms or...
Excellent.
Reading. I recommend reading.
Well, I have the reading covered. I think Karasinda has the looking at mushrooms covered.
That's about right.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.